about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're
so
doing
smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. You have this interaction and you start to learn the things in a culture, in the social fabric of a culture that makes everything go.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the psychology of kindness.
I think that when we start talking about kindness, I think, at first people start thinking, well, we could go all the way to altruism. Will I actually do something that is harmful to myself for someone else? But the fact is, actually, we can be extraordinarily kind to lots of people in ways that have little or no cost to ourselves. And I think that if people did that, I think society functions a lot more smoothly when people just try to take other people's perspective into account when they're acting. So there's some research that got done not too long ago on why we hold the door for other people. And it turns out it's actually not politeness per se. It's energy minimization. That it would... collectively, we're making assessments of how much energy would have to be expended to do something, which is why, if somebody's really far back from you, it's weird to stand there and hold the door for them. But if they're right behind you, you hold the door for them. And then there's this region in between where it's should I hold the door? And this is the interesting bit. When they observe people in their door holding behavior, when in that awkward region someone holds the door, there's a very high probability that the person behind them will speed up. And it's why you're not thinking this through. It's more like, well, we're just trying to minimize the joint energy that was required to traverse this space.
I want to pick up on something that Art was saying about the many low cost and no cost opportunities of showing kindness. When you ask people, how's your day going today? And acknowledging that they're another human being actually means something.
No, but I mean, finding those little ways of making connections to people that have no cost to anyone, but make everyone's day better.
Yeah.
It's such a wonderful thing to do. And when you find one of those things that you can do, it feels good, which then hopefully A, keeps you doing it. And then B, hopefully somebody else sees you doing it and thinks, well, that seems like a really good idea. And maybe it spreads. I mean, we talk about this idea of goal contagion, right?
Yeah.
Seeing somebody else's actions. The more things that you do in the world that are helpful, the more that other people see those things and end up adopting the goal to be helpful. Mm-hmm. And so it really does feed on itself in a positive way. So there's a real long-term benefit to that kind of kindness.
All the things that people do that are kind don't just well up naturally. One of the things that perpetuates a desire to be kind is the responses you get from people who are the objects of your kindness. I mean, we often wait around for somebody to think of something on the spur of the moment that's kind to do and then do it. When in fact, we can actually create situations not only for our children, but for ourselves and for other people that actually make it more likely than not that someone will express a kindness toward another person. That's a lovely thing. And the thing that's so powerful about it, again, isn't just the act itself. It's because human beings are so social, as Art and I say all the time, right? Is that in response to that act of kindness, the what you see in the face of another human being, right? Or even imagine if you're giving to a cause and you can't actually see the human being that might be affected by this. That feeling is really something that is uplifting for any of us to experience.
But the trick for each of us is to think about, well, what are the things that are low cost to us that would not necessarily be low cost to everyone? I think a lot of times we don't think about the differences in abilities and the differences in situations that we have in ways where something that seems relatively meaningless to us could actually be a significant benefit to another mm-hmm. person.
Mm-hmm. And I think we underestimate the value of giving someone our attention. I mean, if you think about, navigating through any given day and how many people you come across, but how many you actually pay attention to, right? The second number is way smaller than the first one, right? And those opportunities to pay attention to somebody are, for many people, myself included, I have to add, is really important, right? Yeah. I mean, to have somebody actually show an interest in what you have to say or what you think or how you feel about something is a very precious commodity that it doesn't really take any money to do that. Although, you know, many people would say the reason people pay therapists, right, whatever fee an hour is I just need somebody to pay attention to me for an hour. I mean, yeah. It's not necessarily...
Well, 50 minutes.
Oh, and I see our time's up. But I mean, if you think about that, really, that's a lot of it. It's just like somebody is now giving me their full attention. And if you think about, you know, how often that happens to any of us in a day, not that we're sort of alone together, you know, we're both doing something and we happen to be in the same place doing it at
parallel
the same time.
Parallel play,
exactly. Versus I'm really looking at you and I'm listening to what you say and you're watching me listen to what you say. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. And one of the things we know about positive mood that we've mentioned on previous shows, but it seems relevant here, is that unexpected gifts create positive mood. Now, an unexpected gift could be a gift. It could be a thing that you give to somebody, but as Bob was just saying, you know, paying attention can actually provide an unexpected uplift to someone's day. They were not really expecting to have a positive interaction with anybody at that moment, and suddenly they're having a really positive interaction, even for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It provides a real boost to mood, and it's hard to overestimate the value of these positive moods.
Yeah.
Because when you feel a little bit better, you notice more of the positive things in the world. And that improves your mood, and you're more likely to remember positive things that happen to you, and that improves your mood. So little things that you might do that make somebody feel a little bit better can actually have an enormous impact on someone's whole day.
Next week, we'll take a look at bullying with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and check out the new book, Brain Briefs, where Art and Bob take on a variety of topics across psychology. Get your copy now, wherever books are sold. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.